We've actually had people come up and tell us, I saw you guys holding hands and it just really warms my heart and thank you. That's what we want this event is like all of these guys that show up to realize that they can just be themselves, whoever they are, and it expands the reach of the queer community so that it quote unquote normalizes us.
What's up, everybody? This is Matt here with the Husband in Law Podcast. This is where we share our stories of love, ex-love, marriage, ex-marriage, divorce, ex-divorce, and coming out of a closet that needed to be opened, and so much more. This podcast is for those who are looking to up their relationship game by understanding first yourself, then others, like your wife, your husband, and your wife's ex-husband on a whole new level. Welcome to the Husband in Law Podcast. Let's get this party started.
My friend, I am so excited to introduce you to this week's podcast guests. Today, we have Kirk and Adam, who are both in mixed orientation marriages and share their stories of where they are at now and how they have created support for the partner who comes out. I am so excited because I've been looking for a resource to send the partner who comes out to that is having this same experience, but from the other side of things, I provide the coaching and support for those individuals who have had a partner come out, but I've never had a place to send the individual who comes out. And now I have one and I can't wait for you to meet them. Kirk and Adam have been together for 5 years. They have started the Live Out Proud events. They have their first event happening this May. You will hear more about that in the podcast episode. And hopefully if you or somebody you know could use that support as a partner who has come out, then please, please, please take advantage of the resources that they offer. You are going to love these men. They have been to hell and back and come today to share their stories so that you feel less alone. I hope you enjoy today's episode and we'll catch you on the flip side. I am so excited to have Kirk and Adam here today. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us. And I'm just so grateful to have your side of the story shared here on our podcast. And also, the resources that you guys provide are going to fill a hole that our audience is looking for. And so I can't wait for our audience to get to know you guys. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. And always when we get three people on here, we're bound to talk over each other. So we'll do our best. Yeah. Okay. So first of all, let's dive in and obviously, actually, this will probably be the main chunk of the podcast, but let's dive into your guys' individual stories and then your combined story together. So let's go ahead and start. Do you guys have a preference of who starts?
Mine's probably the cleanest, so I'll go.
Okay, let's go. So Kirk is going to go ahead and start for us today. Kirk, tell us a little bit of your story. Tell us what we can get on this podcast.
I came out in 2012. I was married to my best friend. We met when we were 18. And I grew up in Alabama originally. So for me, I knew from a very early age that I was gay. I didn't know what to call it then, but definitely knew I was different. And I can even remember the first time that I felt that little difference. But, you know, I wanted a family and I wanted to have I came from an ugly divorce. So I wanted to have a little central nuclear family. So I met April right after I graduated high school. We went through college together, got married in 2006. And then ended up in Arkansas, had a couple of kids, and then there were some transgressions on my side that came to light that I'm not proud of. And that's actually the only thing that I regret is that, and not being upfront and honest with her to begin with. And I remember it was so funny, she wasn't as mad as I thought she would be, but what ended up happening, try not to give nitty gritty details. Somebody found out about my transgressions. I didn't want her to hear from somebody else. So I felt it was I wanted her to know. So I went home and told her. And then there was a little piece of me there where she was going to be like, oh, okay. I don't know why I thought that she was going to be that okay with it. Because I honestly thought maybe she had some suspicions just because there was a lot of stereotypes for me. Like, I mean, we could shop like nobody's business. Like, I helped dress her, like decisions for the wedding I made, you know, there was a lot of like tales, and she still says that she had no idea. But so 2012, all this goes down, and we're both committed though to being good co-parents, because for us, our kids were the most important thing. And, you know, initially it started out just being co-parents for the kids, not wanting them to have the impact of everything. And then what I realized, and I think she realized it too, is that our friendship was so much more necessary for us than we thought it was. And I think that's one of the cool things about our story is, you know, so much of our relationship was being hidden behind this awkwardness that was between us, because we were trying, you know, I was trying to fill the role of a straight man, and there was so much. And then once you like remove all that, then our friendship was just able to develop. And, you know, I listened to, it's funny, the guy that you had the last podcast, the cop, I had listened to your podcast, and I don't call her my ex-wife either. I'll say my kid's mom, because I just don't like using that because of all the negative that comes up with it, you know, with people that don't know your story. You know, if you say your kid's mom, they're a little softer on it. Even through the pandemic, I was able to move in. I moved in with her and her husband and my kids in the house that we originally bought together. Just because I was traveling so much for work, I sold my house. So, yeah, so that's kind of my story in terms of how I got to where I am.
Yeah.
And I could tell more about like the coaching, but if you want to let Adam.
We'll get into it. I have a couple questions for you before we dive into Adam.
Okay.
How long did you guys stay married after you came out? Like, was it a very quick?
April. So I didn't even get a lawyer.
Yeah.
April, she is one. She's like, okay, we decided this, so we're going to do this. Like,
mm-hmm.
So I came out to her in April. We divorced in July. Like, it was final in July. So it was like, get it done.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things, like, when you talk about transgressing, or like, that's the one thing you carry regret around. I mean, my ex-husband had an affair, and like, there were other things that were outside of the bounds of what we had set as appropriate in our marriage. And I just, like, for years watched him carry that guilt and shame, like, over that. And I was just like, Steve, like, this is the only way I think our relationship could have ended, is for him to know that this is what he wanted and explore that. And yes, it wasn't like the right thing or whatever, but I just like release, like, I'm always like, just release that. And it wasn't until he shared his story openly, and like, we started this podcast, that he was able to release that. So, I hope that there's just a lot of grace there for yourself in that, because it is just so often part of this process. And again, maybe not our proudest moments, but like, it's our story.
Yeah. And I, you know, especially with the coaching and me doing work on myself, I come to find that these mistakes just mold you in a way that gets you to where you are now. So yeah, no, I agree with you. Like, I've released it. It's just, sometimes people look at you and I'm like, come on, like,
I got there. I did tell the truth. And that's one of the things too, is I always am like, kudos to people for being honest and owning it. There's so much that gets hidden and lied about that I'm like, the greatest thing you can do is just own it, of just say, this is what happened. This is where it got us. We're good. So, and I love that you moved in with your wife, or your ex-wife and her husband, during the pandemic. I tried so hard to get Steve to move in with us, he's like, it's okay, I'm fine. I'm like, okay, fine. Okay, cool. All right. So Adam, tell us a little bit about your experience in the eye roll, how this went down for you.
So I grew up in like North Central Pennsylvania, in a very small farming country, Amish country, and very like straight conservative Christian upbringing. You know, kind of like Kirk, like I knew at a young age that there was something, you know, different about me, but I didn't know what it was for a while. And then when I realized what it was, there was just a lot of like shame, you know, and be like, okay, well, all right, well, this is something I struggle with. You know, God doesn't give us more anything more than we can handle. And so I'm just gonna like lean in as much as I can to have him like fix me or try to like take it away. And you know, middle school and high school were, they were, I mean, it was pure hell for me. I was, yeah. I got made fun of a lot and bullied a lot. It was really bad. And then I went to a Christian college for vocal performance and, you know, just really struggled there as well. And I was only there for one full year and part of my second year, and then my financial aid was pulled. And that was when I went kind of like crazy, like experimenting. Mm-hmm. And I kind of fell in with like the wrong crowd of people. And like, basically all they did was like party all the time. And I'm just like, well, that's not who I am. Like, I don't want that. Like, I, you know, want to have kids someday. Like, this is not who I am. I'm not a partier. And so that was what kind of led me to going through my first like conversion therapy program, and trying to, you know, fix myself. And I went through the program, and I remember maybe like 3 weeks after I finished the program, I was introduced to my spouse, Karen. And, you know, I had just come out of that. She had just gotten out of treatment for anorexia. Like, and so we both just kind of like linked
up. Trauma bonded a little.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so from there, you know, we, you know, started dating. She found out about me pretty early on. I think it was like right after we had gotten engaged. And, you know, I was struggling, and she ended up finding my internet history, which then like that went through, and I was just like, deny, like, mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what, you know, but she was like, you know, I still love you. Like, we're going to work through this together. You know, and then we had our daughter. I ended up going through another round of conversion therapy after she was born. And we then had a son, Gavin, who was born with mitochondrial disease, and he passed away in 2009. He was 3.5. And then after that, we couldn't have any more kids naturally because she had really terrible pregnancies. And then any of our kids that we would have naturally would be born with mito, and they would just, it would just be even worse. So then we ended up adopting out of the foster care system, four children with disabilities. So they all had special needs ranging, but, you know, all of them were wheelchair bound and a whole bunch of stuff. And so in the process of that, you know, I'm just trying to push through and like suppress, and ended up going through a third conversion therapy program, just trying to keep it all together, you know, and we relocated from Pennsylvania to Orlando in May of 2016. And then, unfortunately, in November that year, our son Jaden died in an accidental drowning. And Karen was, we were there. It was very traumatic. We found his body. We pulled him out of the water. It was very hard. And so Karen was diagnosed with like severe PTSD. Mm-hmm. And so after that, it just started putting her in treatment, getting her trying. She was having really like catatonic flashbacks. And I mean, it was horrendous. And there was a lot of self-harm happening. And so she was just going all over the country, literally, for treatment. And then in the midst of that, her anorexia came back on top of that. And so she just started like rapidly losing weight. And then she was going to treatment for anorexia. And then she got so weak that she was losing control of her body and ended up having a stroke, which then caused her to then be wheelchair bound. And so it was just a lot. And, you know, in the midst of that, our daughter, Angela, she started kind of declining health wise. And then she passed away last April. And then unfortunately, Karen passed away in July of last year. So it's just been a whole lot of trauma on top of trauma on top of trauma. And probably about 2 years ago, I finally had a conversation with Karen, and I just said, look, I know it's not a surprise to either of us, but I'm gay. And, you know, I'm not trying to like fix it anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was as understanding as she could. I mean, it wasn't a surprise by any means from her.
Yeah.
Her biggest fear was that I was just gonna like up and abandon our family and you know, which I would never, you know. And so I stayed, you know, and from that point, you know, our relationship kind of turned, it was just more of like we were friends and I was a caregiver for her. You know, and then I came out to my oldest daughter. It was pretty shortly thereafter, like, and you know, I was very nervous about that as well.
Yeah.
But she was just like, I was just like, you know, I'm not going anywhere, like, you know, and she's like, okay, you know, so you know. And I was like, I was an emotional wreck when I was telling her, and I'm like sobbing, and she's like, that's okay. And I'm like, you know, but, and then I had slowly been coming out to people who I was close to and I trusted. And then I kind of officially came out last October. So like, Facebook official, like, which has been, which was interesting. And I just remember when I was trying to like type it up and like do my post on Instagram and stuff, I was like, okay, well, how do I explain all of this? And then I just remember typing in the post, like, I know a lot, everybody's probably like wanting to know everything. And I just remember saying in the post, like, that's not your place to know everything. Like the only people that I choose to let know, like, is like people I trust. And, you know, but I was just like, Karen loved me for who I was. Like, you know, it wasn't something that was a shock to her, you know? So I said, so basically everybody just knows one more thing about me that you didn't know, like five minutes ago, you know, that's it. I'm the same person. You just know something else about me. So, yeah. So that's how I got here today.
When you first started sharing, and thank you for sharing, both of you, your experiences and stories. And I know this is like the broad strokes overview, obviously, but I thought, man, I just want to give little Adam a hug. And now I'm like, I want to give all of those phases of Adam just a big hug of that's so much trauma to go through and to experience. And so please know, like, just sending you love, because I know
thank you.
These things take years. And I think losing somebody, you know, that loss probably never really goes away, but just sending you both love.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It's so hard. And like the conversion therapy in and of itself is just like heartbreaking to me to hear about. And then
I know
combine that with so much loss. Like there's so many moments here.
And it's so funny when I talk to people and I tell them about like conversion therapy, they're like, oh man, that's, you know, that's rough. And I'm like, yeah, I said, then I did it two more times. Like, and they're like, oh my gosh, like, why would you do that? And I'm like, well, I gave it the old college try, like, you know, to get through, you know? Like,
yeah.
And I just remember when my therapist at the time I was seeing, he's like, Adam, what if there's nothing wrong with you? Like, what if you're doing all this and you're exactly who God made you to be, like right here in this moment? I was just like, I never thought of that. Like, you know, I always thought that I was the one that was in the wrong. Like, I'm the one that's the problem. Like, and to finally just understand that this is who I am, like, and God created me in this body and feelings and emotions, like as I am in this moment, like it's, that was a real like light switch moment for me. And I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. I've done all this shit to try and fix myself and there's nothing to fix. Like there's nothing for me to fix, you know, like, so yeah, from that point, it was just working through all that, and I'm still working, you know, so.
Of course, we all are, like, but
EMDR therapy was great for him.
Yeah.
Good. I'm so glad. Yeah. Like that hits for some people. And I love, like, there's so many options now of healthy ways to process through trauma and deal with these things that I love when people find the thing that works for them. Like my husband's done EMDR therapy for other things and watching that shift in him has been huge. So I'm so glad that that's something that's worked and that you shared that just now. Cause I want people to know, like, go find the things that work for you. Like there's so many different venues. It's interesting because when you first started sharing your story, Adam, I wrote down a possible title for the episode and it was Fixing What Isn't Broken. And that's exactly this thing that your therapist thankfully showed you, is that there was nothing wrong with you. But we are told, especially within religion from a young age, that there is something wrong with this. And hopefully that narrative is shifting some and we can help shift that. But man, like when you grow up feeling so deeply that something is wrong with you because it's innately who you are, that's such a hard thing to then, when that moment comes, and it sounds like it hit in that moment when your therapist said, what if there's nothing wrong with you?
Right.
And we believe that and feel that, like that's a life-changing moment. For sure.
It was. Yeah, it definitely was. Glad. And yeah. And I'm glad it obviously took me a while to get there, but you know, someone asked me, they're like, well, don't you wish you would have come out sooner? And I'm like, well, no, because I may not have my kids that I have. Like things may, I said, and I love my children. Like my kids are everything, you know, like you know, so it just took me a little bit longer to get there, but I'm here now and learning that there are so many others out there, you know, in the same situation that have gone through the same thing, you know. And that's another thing. It's like when for the longest time I thought I was like an amoeba or like the only one of this thing, you know, like, and to know that there's so many guys that have, and women that have gone through the same thing, like women that have gotten married because that's what they were told that they had to do, you know? So it's, and it's just so, I don't know, amazing to see people being able to step through it and like come out on the other side of it and, you know, just find the life that they, you know, are supposed to live in the midst of it, you know.
Yeah. It's interesting when I niched down like a few years ago to speaking specifically to women who had had a partner come out, the instant I did that, I swear, it was like people were dropping into my DMs and my Instagram grew and people are like, is there really a need for this? I'm like, you have no idea how many of us there are out there, but it's not something that gets talked about and or didn't before. And so now it's like, okay, let's create a safe space for these people. And I love that you guys are doing that and that, you know, I'm on the other side of this doing this. But before we dive in, I want to talk about the work you guys do now. But before we dive in, let's hear how you guys met. And like, if you want to share that, like share parts of your story of where you guys are at today and navigating your relationship now.
Yeah, so we met through a Facebook group, a private Facebook group that was specifically...
I'm not as filtered, so I'll rock.
That was specifically for gay men in mixed orientation marriages.
Mm-kay.
And so there were, you know, guys in there through all different phases of it that have come out, you know, divorced and whatever, and there to like just be a support for other guys. There were guys who were in the midst of it. And then there were guys like me who were still in the closet, still trying to find a way to, you know, rectify everything in themselves to be able to, you know, make the decisions, you know, and all the feelings and everything that go along with that. So we met through that group, you know, because when you join, you have to just like post like a little bio about yourself and like where you are currently or whatever. And, you know, Kirk reached out and, you know, I had kind of shared my story and he was just like, oh my gosh, he's like, I can't imagine like everything that you're going through, like that's, you know, so hard. And so we just, you know, we're just through there as a support. And, you know, you met a bunch of people that had similar experiences and so not feel so alone. And, but there was just a connection with him that we had together and, you know, our conversations that we had. And I don't know, there was just something different. I mean, and he's not bad to look at either, you know, so.
It's always a bonus, man.
But, you know, he was just so, so kind and you know, supportive and, you know, to see that he was on the other side of it and, you know, had a great relationship with his, you know, kid's mom. And, you know, they did, you know, did a bunch of stuff together. Like it gave me hope that, you know, there could be something like that for me possibly, you know, so it was, so that's kind of how we got started.
Yeah, it was definitely, I mean, I'm going to, so, you know, this group is all gay men, right? And they're in various different ways. So, you know, certain things happen in DMs and I'm sure that his got blown up, but I went a different route. And I was like, I just really appreciate your story. I do remember looking at his picture, his profile picture, and it like taking my breath away and just thinking like, wow, he's so handsome. And so I went about it a different route because I didn't want to, I wanted to stand out.
Yeah.
And it just, in that connection of us conversing, really this bond that we have just really grew. And you know, what's so interesting to me is if you ever watch like Bridgerton or anything like that, you know how there's like all these love stories written through letters or there's like the little brush of the hand. Most people that get to experience a relationship, like a straight couple that experiences a relationship, they don't know that that stuff is really significant. But when your only means of communication is the words you use, or maybe like a voice recording. And then when you meet up, it's like 5 months, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And just like the touch is like electric.
Yeah.
And so I love watching those period pieces because I can totally relate to that, how that love evolves. So we just, you know, that was in 2018, and we just were in constant communication. I mean, I don't think there's ever really been a day where we've not talked and, you know, FaceTime. And I feel like our long, you know, people say distance is hard, which it is, but I think our relationship has evolved such where we have to communicate.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and we had to learn to communicate incredibly transparently. And so,
yeah,
it's a really good relationship. Like,
yeah. I mean, I think the thing is, you know, both Kirk and I have kids, so we have responsibilities. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we know that like we're currently where we are right now. And so to make this work, like you said, our communication has to be like on top. And it's really forced us to work on our communication skills and like our listening skills and you know,
Kirk and just took ownership that's his he's the one doing that, working on that.
You know, he's such an external processor at times. Mm. Like, you know, and I am such like an internal, so I'll be like, he'll like, and I'm like, okay, well, that's great. Like, I'm going to need some time to think about all that stuff, you know? Mm. So, you know, and it's kind of forced him to kind of do the same and not like expect answers like right away. So I think, you know, it's really helped us in that the times that we are like when we are together, because we communicate so well outside of these times, like we don't feel like we're having to fill the time with like all the stuff that we don't talk about, like when we're not together. So, yeah. Which is really good.
It's more like, you've been away on a business trip.
Yeah.
Like when we're apart, you know? And I think the thing for us, like, it really has been like, we'll communicate and said, okay, when you said this, this is what I heard. This is how it made me feel. And so in the future, when you're trying to convey XYZ message, maybe go about it this way.
Yeah.
And for me, I know I love him more than I've romantically loved any human, because I can be patient for him and I'm not a patient person. Like, I actually like converse with myself, like, okay, Kirk, he's processing, like, bring it down a notch, let him have his space, you know? So,
Yeah. Well, when we're able to communicate those things clearly and it's received and heard, and not that it's not something we have to repeat of sometimes like the reminders of, hey, I need time. Remember, I need time. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I'm sorry. I like, you know, I'm the person that says everything in the moment, whatever. Yeah. But when we can acknowledge those and communicate about that, that's huge. It makes such a big difference. That's why, like, they say like financials and sex are like the top things that end marriages. And I'm like, the third thing is communication. And if we communicate, it takes care of those other things.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. But communication is really where relationships thrive. I mean, it is the key, and figuring that out. I have to say, like, watching you guys interact, like, just even talking to me, your guys's eyes, like, they're the kindest eyes. And I just, like, it makes me emotional. Like, people who find each other and can have that communication, and people who are willing to share, and people who are doing things to help and support other people. I mean, both of your lives have been based on that, and it's just so beautiful. So thank you for being true to yourselves and embracing who you are at all levels of life. Like, you've done that throughout your life in different ways, and now you get to more fully do that, and it's a gift. So thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. That's so sweet.
Yeah. Okay. So what is it that you guys do now? The work that you do, I know you are here trying to help other individuals who are coming out. And so please share that with us.
So there's two things. So we're both we're the co-founders of Live Out Proud, which is a nonprofit. I have a coaching business where I help guys as they're coming out. And I have over 20 years of corporate sales experience. So what I found is, like, in my mind, everything is a sales conversation. Everything's like conversing, and you're just trying to convey a message in a way to be received. So I took my sales training and morphed it to help guys, as they're coming out, validate the feelings of the other person that they're communicating with, and also work on the conversations that they have. So there's three pillars that I talk about. It's a conversation with yourself, conversation with your wife or your family, and then conversation with your community, because those are kind of the three buckets that, as people are struggling with coming out, or, you know, they're on their journey where they misfire. And guys say a lot of stupid stuff that causes an immense amount of chaos.
So do the women. It goes both ways. Thank you for owning it, but we do too.
Yes. And, you know, there's a lot of emotion built in this, and it all makes sense, because it's like, I mean, it's a powder keg when all that goes down. So what I try and do with my coaching business is just help these guys rehearse the lines that they're going to say, and then make sure that they're validating. Because when you're in the midst of the closet, like, you know, your sexuality feels huge. It's like everybody can see it. That's the only thing you can think about. And then as you, like, there's times where I forget I'm gay. Like, it's such a minor part of who I am. And that's where I try and get them. So that's my coaching business. But Live Out Proud is something that we started together. And it basically is an organization, it's a nonprofit that is going to focus on self-help, just really breaking through trauma and shame that everybody within the queer community carries. And it kind of came from this idea of, like, if you've ever been to a motivational conference, there's usually generally two types of energy, and it's usually cis straight people that, you know, and there's either the alpha male, like uber, like iron sharpens iron bullshit. Or there's the more hyper feminine, like, hey girl, hey, type stuff. And I had been to a couple of these events, and, like, I generally would feel more comfortable in a room full of women versus a room full of alpha males. But it still didn't feel right. So, this idea, we've been playing with it, and we've had, like, we sold t-shirts, and we've gone to Pride events and sold Live Out Proud t-shirts. But really, just this year, we decided to just go for it and have our first conference.
You know, I think, you know, for the first conference that we're doing in May, we're really just focusing on, right now, LGBTQ men and the issues that, you know, we're facing at this point. And so, you know, we are having speakers all the way from dealing with trauma and working through that, and different types of things that can, you know, you can do to work, you know, to do that, all the way to the other aspect of, like, sexual wellness and, you know, embracing your sexuality in a way that it's not just in one part of your life, but you can, you know, experience it, you know, or have it a part of you every day, you know, and, like, how to do that. And it's not something to be afraid of or ashamed of, you know. So, and then a bunch of stuff in the middle from there, you know. So it's
so awesome.
I think it's going to be a really great event. We have some really great speakers lined up. I think within the community, which has one of the highest rates of death by suicide, you know, we're really wanting to make sure that, you know, we're doing our part to highlight that and, like, express, like, we need to be taking care of ourselves, you know. And there are outlets and there are organizations, especially here in Denver, which is such a, has a beautiful, thriving LGBTQ community, that they can take care of themselves, you know, and they can work through the, you know, things, you know, because unfortunately, a lot of us have trauma. I mean, that we've, especially, you know, older or, like, younger millennials and, like, you know,
yep.
Gen Zers, you know, like we all grew up in a time, you know, and I think it's a little bit different now with kids coming out because it is so accepted in some sort, in some ways, but there is still a lot of people who I think just need to hear a reminder that like, it's okay to take care of yourself. Like it's okay for you to work through this. And I know it's scary. I know it's hard, but once you do that, like you won't be held back by that, you know, from, so we're really excited about it. We were at the venue this morning, just looking at everything. And we were there with our stager who's going to bring in like couches and stuff for the speakers. Yeah. And, you know, so it's going to feel really, really great. And it's going to be an amazing, it's really going to be an amazing day. So
yeah, the ultimate goal eventually is to have this be a multi-day event for all members of the community. So have like a kind of call it a general session, because we can all use different ways to motivate ourselves, right? Whether it's like focusing on gratitude, personal affirmations, like all that stuff is powerful things that people can use in their lives, no matter how they identify. And then have breakout sessions for each of the groups. And for us, one of the big things that we want to have is a family day where we bring in queer teenagers, like 13 to 17, mm-hmm. let them go have some fun, do something really cool. And then like give the parents free space to talk about what they're going through.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have teenagers, right? And being a teenager is difficult. And I know that, like, as far as I know, my kids identify cis, straight. So I know all the shit bouncing around in their head. I can only imagine you add in the queerness. I mean, I kind of went through it, but I was suppressing it. And then having to educate your parents because they're asking questions. So I want to provide a resource for parents because, you know, they need to learn to advocate. And I think, you know, we were talking about it. The more that people within our community can just be themselves, even if it's small things like he and I hold hands in public because I want to, and he's super cute. And it's like sending a message, right? Yeah. To people where they're like, because we assimilate really well into what's normal or, mm-hmm. you know, so for someone who maybe thinks they have a problem with a gay couple, they see us holding hands. Maybe they're able to take it a little more. Maybe they're like, oh, well, that's stupid that I was pissed off about that. Or more importantly, maybe there's some queer little kid who's like, and we've actually had people come up and tell us, I saw you guys holding hands and it just really warms my heart. And thank you. Like there's these, you know, so that's what we want this event is like all of these guys that show up to realize that they can just be themselves, whoever they are. And it expands the reach of the queer community so that it, quote unquote, normalizes us.
Yeah. And I think that's like the thing is we need to see more options. We need to see that there's not just one way our life should look. And like you're saying, if people could embrace that in general, not just even within the queer community, if we could be ourselves, it would change the world. Like there'd be less hate just because when you love yourself, when you genuinely love yourself, accept who you are, you don't feel the need to put that on somebody else. Like, no, this is the only way to be. Your life has to look like mine because we've released that idea that it has to look any certain way. So I love that you are showing up, that you are creating this space. I have people reach out to me on the regular saying, I'm the gay partner. I'm the queer individual. My partner needs somebody or my ex needs support. As the queer individual, like, where do they go? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, we have the podcast, it shares our stories, and I know that's supportive, but people want coaches. They want that community of knowing they're not alone. So I am so grateful that you guys are here doing this work on the level that you're doing it and that you are. I know how scary it is to say we are putting on a big event, like, and I commend you for doing that. Like, way to go. because it's going to be received. Like, I know people are looking for it. And I just keep thinking about individuals specifically in my community. And I know there's a lot more. And I'm like, oh, I hope they go to this and take advantage of it. So thank you. All of this information, if you are a listener and you are like, oh my gosh, I want to be at this event, I need this support, please go to our show notes. Like, all of the information of how to be in contact with Adam and Kurt will be there. And you can get that support. But tell us right now, where can people find you? And what's your website? Like, all of the things. Tell me all the things so that listeners can find you guys.
Yeah. So our website is liveoutproud.org. And that will have all the information that you need about the event on May 4th. It has a list of all of our speakers that are there, what they generally talk about, so you can kind of get a feel for it. And on Instagram, the same name, Live Out Proud, is our handle, so you can search for us that way.
Yeah, we're on Facebook too. We have a Facebook page, so it's all Live Out Proud on Facebook.
Yeah. So everything is there. Live Out Proud, super easy to remember.
And for anyone that's looking specifically for coaching, they can find me on Instagram. Hold on, let me get my handle right. I just changed it. So it's Kirk_Barnett80. So it'll, you know, I'll send you the information, but yeah, they can just reach me there and we can talk through some things.
Perfect. You guys, thank you so much for being here today, for being willing to share your stories, and being like having done the work to be able to share. Cause I know a lot of work goes into even getting ourselves to a place where we're emotionally, physically, all of the things ready to share and help people, and filling this space that needs to be filled where there needs to be support. So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks
for having us.
All right, my friend, if you are looking for support after having come out, please head to the show notes and you can connect with Kirk and Adam there and find out all of the things that they have to offer. And if you have any questions for me or need any support from me, please feel free to hop on a free call and let's get you started on this path of healing. Or if you have a question for Matt and I and Steve, we really are going to be recording together soon. So drop that question in the show notes. There's a link to send us that question and we will answer it the next time that we record. I'm sending you love, my friend. I'm cheering you on. If you were supported at all by this week's episode, please leave us a rating and a review and or share this podcast on social media or with a close friend that might need the message we are sharing. Take care. Until next week.